Earth, sky.
Overall, Arctic sea ice coverage has decreased quite a bit since the late 1970s, while the Antarctic sea ice cover has actually increased somewhat, although not nearly as much as the Arctic sea ice has decreased. Satellites have been absolutely tremendous in terms of allowing us to record the changes in the sea ice. One of those key instruments that's getting us this great satellite record is the Japanese AMSR-E instrument on NASA's Aqua satellite.
You're listening to climate scientist Claire Parkinson, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Dr. Parkinson is project scientist for NASA's Aqua satellite mission. A key focus of her research is sea ice, floating ice at Earth's north and south poles, which is important to wildlife, a factor in trade routes among nations, and a key indicator of climate change. Dr. Parkinson spoke with Earth Sky's Jorge Salazar about changes to polar sea ice.
Dr. Parkinson, welcome to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science.
Thank you, Jorge.
What is sea ice and why do scientists study it?
Sea ice is ice that forms from the freezing of seawater. It's a very common feature in the polar regions. In fact, it extends over about 15 million square kilometers in the Arctic in the Arctic wintertime, and that's 1.5 times the area of Canada. So, huge area. And in the Antarctic winter, it's even more expansive. It spreads over about 18 million square kilometers. So very expansive. And the reason that we study it is because this huge expanse of sea ice really does have quite a few impacts, both on the rest of the climate system and also on ecosystems. For instance, in terms of the climate impacts, sea ice is really quite an effective insulator between the ocean and the atmosphere. And also, it's white. And being white means that the solar radiation that comes down and strikes it largely gets reflected away and goes back to space. This is hugely important in the climate context because it means that this huge white ice cover in the Arctic and in the Antarctic is like a reflective surface that reflects away solar radiation and keeps the polar regions even colder than they would have been if the sea ice cover weren't there.
So tell us, what's happening with sea ice in the Arctic?
Overall, in the Arctic, the sea ice has been reducing in the past 30 years. And we know that from satellite data. And it's very clear that the Arctic has a huge seasonal cycle. So every year there's way, way more ice in the winter than there is in the summer. And there's a lot of difference from one year to another. But even through all those differences, both the seasonal cycle differences and the year-to-year differences, we can see a clear long-term trend, which is a trend toward lesser sea ice coverage. And it turns out that it's overall about 3 to 4% per decade reduced sea ice coverage since the late 1970s. That comes out to about 46,000 square kilometers per year, which is a little bit more than the area of Switzerland. So a little bit more than the area of Switzerland is being lost of ice each year.
It sounds like if this trend continues that the Arctic could be without sea ice one day in the summer.
There would be several consequences of having an ice-free Arctic. One that's often discussed is the fact that it would be great for shipping in terms of not only would the Northwest Passage and Northeast Passage be open, but you could actually go right across the center of the Arctic. So for shippers, this would be great to have an ice-free Arctic. However, that advantage comes with quite a few disadvantages. Of course, increased shipping would mean increased possibility of environmental problems from like oil spills or such from the shipping, but also the reduced ice cover would remove this reflective white cover over the Arctic Ocean, and it would mean therefore that the sun's radiation coming in to the Arctic region instead of getting reflected away by the white ice cover, would end up getting absorbed into the ocean, or in large part would get absorbed into the ocean, providing additional energy to the Earth system and thereby further heating up the Earth system. So that would definitely be a strong climate impact. But also there'd be a lot of impacts on life in the polar regions. The life form that's discussed the most in terms of sea ice impacts is polar bears, and that's because they're such iconic figures in the Arctic. But a lot of animals and plant life would be affected. There's actually life that lives within the ice, little microscopic organisms that live within the ice. If the ice were gone, their whole habitat is gone. But in terms of like the polar bears and other large animals, it would remove the platform that they operate on. Polar bears tend to wander around on the sea ice, and from the sea ice they hunt for their main food source, which is seals. So it would have multiple impacts on climate and on ecosystems if indeed the Arctic were to become ice-free.
How is sea ice being observed with NASA's AQUA satellite?
The AQUA satellite has a key instrument that allows us to see sea ice every day and get the polar coverage for both the Arctic and the Antarctic. And that instrument is the Advanced Microwave Scanning Radiometer for the Earth Observing System. The abbreviation is AMSR-E. It's an instrument that was provided to NASA's AQUA satellite by the Japanese. The AMSR measures microwave radiation, and there's some real pluses for measuring microwave radiation when we're looking at sea ice. And a key one is sea ice emits a lot more of certain wavelengths of microwave radiation than water does. And so therefore, when we get the data from the instrument on how much radiation it's receiving, we can readily tell whether there was sea ice in that little grid element below the satellite. And not only can we tell whether it had sea ice or not, but because of the contrast between how much microwave radiation is coming out from the ice versus the water, we can actually calculate what percentage of that pixel area is sea ice. And we call that percentage the ice concentration. And we calculate the ice concentration for all the pixel areas in the Arctic and in the Antarctic regions, and we add those up to figure out how much area is covered by sea ice in the Arctic and how much is covered by sea ice in the Antarctic. And this we call the ice extent. And then we're able to do this every day because of the fact that the microwaves, they're coming from the ice and the ocean and the rest of the Earth system. So we don't have to depend on sunlight. So therefore, we can get our data whether it's light out or dark out, which is a big plus in the polar regions when for months at a time you have darkness in the polar night. But also, this microwave data at certain wavelengths of the microwave data, the microwaves go straight through a cloud. And so therefore, even if it's cloudy out, you're still able to get your data from the sea ice cover. So huge, huge plus. And that's the way that we get our day-to-day-to-day sea ice record from AQUA. It's with this AMSR-E instrument. We also have an instrument on AQUA that measures with visible radiation that actually can get some more detailed pictures of the ice. But because it's visible radiation, it doesn't allow us to get the data when it's cloudy out or when it's dark out, because it's using the same kind of radiation our eyes see, and it's got the same limitations that our eyes have. But that instrument, which is called the Moderate Resolution Imaging Spectroradiometer, or abbreviated MODIS, that instrument gets us great pictures when it's light and there are no clouds in the way. So the combination of the two, the AMSR-E instrument that gets us data every day, and cloudy or not cloudy, and light or dark, Plus, the visible information from the MODIS instrument gives us a great combination of sea ice data from the Aqua satellite.
You've been listening to Claire Parkinson, project scientist for the NASA Aqua satellite mission. Our thanks today to NASA's Aqua mission, improving our knowledge of our home planet through satellite observations. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Deborah Bird. EarthSky is a clear voice for science. We're at earthsky.org.